Caromcast.com.
It's the Caromcast.
Built a robot, a simple robot that kinda looks like me. It's not expensive and can't shoot lasers, but makes good company. I made a robot from broken items I found out on the streets. It's hooked on phonics and doing yoga and making peppermint tea. I built a robot, a simple robot to keep me company. It doesn't play games but likes to listen and never disagrees.
Welcome to the Caromcast, episode 10. It is January 4th, 2009. Happy New Year, everyone. Happy you're back with us. And so is my special guest, Amy.
What's up? Happy New Year.
Happy to have you back on the show.
I'm glad to be back.
We've had a little gap between the last episodes and this one as we've been upgrading our studio and checking out some funky business at iTunes and making sure everything's going to be copacetic. I also put up a poll in the meantime asking what you guys would like to hear us discuss and discuss with us. All topics ranging from tech to food to self-development and blogging and so on and so forth. And as those numbers in the voting climb, we'll make certain determinations about what we'll talk about. But I have a subject I want to discuss this week. Out of the many things that we could have discussed, one of them, of course, was The Punisher, which came out since our last interview with Lexi Alexander.
Great flick. Great interviews, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was amazing to be able to talk to those guys.
For sure.
To get their insight. The movie came and went. I loved it. I speak as a fan. It did terribly at the box office, but I don't think it's the fault of the film. I think we saw a very, very slow December.
It did better than Spirit.
Yeah, I mean, that's not saying much.
I think The Punisher will do well on DVD sales. It's a great movie. The acting's fun.
No question. I have no concern that
it'll
find a place. But yeah, I liked the film in the end after all said and done, and I'm excited to have been a part of it. I got to meet the guys from the Global Punisher Army forums, and they're really cool, and at some point I want to talk to them about what it is to run a fan-based community online, what motivates you to do it and what that's about, and also talk about just online beingness and what those communities mean. I also wanted to talk about what World of Warcraft means to people and what it's like to live that day in and day out. But
You could go on for hours about that.
Yeah, I mean, each one of those could be an episode into itself. But I think that where they used to seem like strange hobbies for the uber nerdish, now as people are obsessively tuned into the latest Facebook updates, not even in front of their computers, but just even on their Blackberries or whatever, you realize that there's not that big of a difference between spending 8 hours a day in the world of Azeroth as there is just tuning into what your friends are pinging and Twittering and everything else, I wrote a couple of posts about this on my Culture Pin blog, and I got very interesting responses. Some people were very supportive of the idea that Facebook is something better left out of the lifestyle, and other people's...
Downright violent.
Yeah, some people got pretty hectic about it. I guess that's, you know, it could seem like an attack, but it really wasn't. I just think it's important to always be able to zoom back out and realize that all of these things are just phases as we develop and evolve towards even more profound changes in our lives that we can't yet predict, and that a lot of us are probably going to be at the forefront of designing and influencing. So to my topic for this week, I wanted to talk about serendipity and coincidence and fate and how we observe these things, how we recognize these things, and also how we influence them and even manifest our visions and our dreams. I've had a series of particularly poignant coincidences take place in the last 5 or 6 months, so powerful that it just becomes difficult to ignore. Have you ever had something like that, Amy, where you could swear that something that happens is just an impossible coincidence?
And many times, yeah.
It can't just be a coincidence?
Right. There has to be some kind of symbol or meaning behind it. And then I obsess over what that could be.
I mean, do you give it any gravity? Do you think that there's something beyond just the coincidence?
I think it depends on what type of event takes place.
So give me an example of a time in your life where something happened that was a coincidence that was so powerful that you could swear that there must be greater forces at work.
Okay. A long time ago, my dad used to, for extra money when he was sick, he used to drive a cab. And he had this very famous sitcom actor at the time in his cab, and they exchanged words and had a day or whatever, and actually had a very intense little meeting, and they became symbols in each other's lives. Well, recently my sister's dog ran away, and they couldn't find it anywhere, and so her fiancé posted up signs everywhere saying lost dog. And as he's posting up these signs, he sees a sign that says, dog found. So they're like, that's Bianca. So they take the sign, and then they call the number, and it happens to be the same actor that has the dog. And he says, I found your dog on this major highway.
Did this actor live in the same neighborhood as your father or anything?
The day that this actor found the dog was the day that something significant in our lives regarding my father had happened. Closure had happened in my family. And this circumstance occurred. And my sister and my mom called me, oh my God, it's a sign. For me, I'm like, that's really funny. Bianca's in this person's bathroom. And if you knew this dog, you would just think, how unfortunate for this man.
Okay, so essentially what happened was, your father connected with this actor in a different state, right?
Right.
Years before.
Many, like 15 years before.
And then 15 years later, a dog goes missing in a different state that belongs to your sister.
Yes.
And is found by the same actor.
Yes.
On the day that something significant happened.
Yes.
To your father. And, okay. I'll give you an example of one of these. I received an email about a domain name that I had, and somebody wanted to buy it. I looked up the name of the person who had written to me via their email address, and I found a company. 6 months later, I contact somebody on a auction board about a completely unrelated issue having to do with purchasing an item. And it ends up being the exact same person who wrote to me to buy that domain name months before. And the thing about it was that this person that I contacted on this auction board wasn't just a ping, like, can you sell me this thing? We actually had a back and forth conversation. Another example is one night I was lying on the couch and I said somebody's name, and my friend said to me, who was that that you said when you were sleeping? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And it was this word. They thought I said the word low. Who is low? And I said, I don't know any low. I don't remember saying that. Well, I got up and I went onto the computer and I started browsing around and looked at YouTube, and I was reading about viral videos and so on. And I started following the certain thread of these people who seem to be really, really good at creating viral videos and grabbing the exact target audience that they wanted. And it finally led me to this one person who was just so good at it. And I looked at their profile, and their top favorited video was called The Demon Low. And this took place about an hour after I said this name out loud. And in the place where I live, there's this some kind of a specter, an entity that people sometimes witness or believe that they feel. And when I had a shaman come here once, she said that there's this portal in the corner of the room, probably because just outside of the place, there are these big power lines. And she said to me, the shaman said to me, that the power lines are always a source of sort of a tear in the rift kind of thing, and that I should cleanse the space and do all this other stuff. Well, you can just disregard all of those things in life, or you can look at all of these stories and recognize that there are signs, that there are patterns, that there are linearities between these things.
Links.
And that it's a dangerous thing to become superstitious, because superstition in a lot of ways is sort of an excuse for a lack of accountability. Superstition says something went wrong. That's because, oh, I hexed myself. I walked under a ladder. I stepped on a crack on the sidewalk. And it's a failure to be accountable for your own responsibility for the way that your life is going. But on the other hand, there is something to be said for recognizing, let's say, opportunity or understanding the signs. And I'll explain to you why, for human beings in particular, this is something that is absolutely integral to the source of our power and of our greatest weakness. Humans can perceive an enormous array of elements. However, our brains are designed to focus on a very few. We have this constant filter going on that allows us to zoom in on particular details. And I'll give you an example of how this works as an analogy. People who are foragers for mushrooms, there are fungi that live as singular entities that span 400 miles, bigger than coral reefs. They are not an animal and they are not a vegetable. They are something in between the two.
And the conditions to allow them to grow are quite
difficult. Unusual.
Yeah.
Sometimes just for a particular kind of, like for a chanterelle mushroom to grow, it could require 80 years for a particular oak tree to grow in a particular place before that entity gives up the spores, which are those little things that we pick and eat. You can't cultivate something within a lifetime. That usually takes 80 years to germinate and gestate and all of that. So the point about mushrooms is that they're a very strange being, creature, whatever you want to call it. And people who go foraging for them understand that these things come at a premium, at an enormous premium, because, of course, they have to be found and that, you know, there's a finite amount. So these foragers have to do what they call putting their eyes on. They go out into places where, let's say, a forest has burned down and they're looking for morels. And for hours, they may not see anything, but all that they're trying to keep their eyes completely zoomed in on this singular image of what a morel mushroom looks like or a chanterelle mushroom looks like. And if, let's say, there's three or four of them, one of them may suddenly keep finding these mushrooms. They might look at a pile of leaves and see nothing, and then the guy beside them might see them in that exact spot and bend down and pick them up. Once somebody has their eyes on, there's this other effect, which is that people start following that guy around because they want the good luck to rub off on them. And they say, don't get that close to me, you know, you're going to spoil my mojo. Well, there's two ways of looking at this. You can look at that as superstition, that a guy is lucky that day, or you can look at it as the guy has tuned in, his brain has finally tuned in to that thing specifically that he's looking for, which is that particular mushroom shape. And what happens then is that these things start to appear everywhere. And all of a sudden you look at the landscape and it just seems like there's thousands of mushrooms everywhere just materializing as if from another dimension. They say that when you go to bed that night after you've been hunting mushrooms, there's another term called the screensaver, which is that the image of that mushroom is burnt onto your eyeballs. So what I'm getting at is that once you start to see and acknowledge and fit these patterns in your life in a particular way, you actually start to see these things happen more. I had another friend who kept seeing the number 1111 everywhere. He would see it on his clock every time he woke up. He would see it in all sorts of references. It would, every time something happened, there's somehow the numbers 1111 were tied to it. The show Lost deals with this idea a lot of seeing these patterns constantly. Well, my take on it is that biologically, our brains, the way that they're constructed neurologically, is designed to filter out all the things that we don't need to focus on at the moment and singularly focus it on the things that we do or that we desire or that we obsess about or that we're compulsive about.
And aren't we basically a species that learn through pattern recognition?
It's a good point. One of our strongest powers for survival is habituation. And I think I've talked about this before. We habituate to things very quickly. Like when you ride a bike, the first few times you fall on your ass and you don't know what you're doing and you're wobbly. But once you learn how to ride a bike, you can still pick up and ride a bike 20, 30 years later. When you're first learning to drive a car, you're thinking about how you're holding the steering wheel and when to turn the blinker and about your feet on the accelerator and God forbid you're driving standard. And once you habituate to this, it's second nature. You don't even think about these things. So habituation and this focused mind are two things that can actually make you very myopic, very blind to a lot of possibilities. And it's very difficult to zoom back out. And I guess this takes me back around to my whole thing about Facebook and zooming out is you can become locked into these grids where your life becomes progressively narrow. Within those things, you can see patterns and you make assumptions about things, but there's another way to deal with it. You can also become a magician of the highest order when you recognize that you can manifest any vision that you have by acknowledging and seeing where the next step along that path lies and then following it. And I'm not really on this topic to be, you know, a motivational speaker or to get into that whole self-empowerment thing.
Although it's a good time of year to start talking about that stuff.
Sure. I mean, at the turn of the year, we always talk about creating better habits and making all sorts of affirmations about what we want to do and breaking bad habits and all of that. I guess there's just something to that space in between the actuality of matter and things and our perception of it. That space in between those two is where we call metaphysics. A space that we are able to play in, and if we're active about it, and we're tuning into it and we're acknowledging its power, then we have some command over it. And if we're not, then we're literally being tossed around, not even connected to the reality of things, but tossed around in a thing that sometimes we ascribe to karma. You know, I did good and I did bad, and therefore good is happening or bad is happening. But you have a certain control over these things. We have the faculties, but not the design to access that information. So when these really weird things happen, I don't know if they're coming at us from the outside. I don't know if I said the name Lo and then saw a video about a demon called Lo because I manifested that, or because in my sense making, I started to see that there was some significance in correlating those things together.
Because it's very easy that once something weird happens, you can link it to something else, and then all of a sudden you're in that mushroom field and you see all these signs and you could be pulling them right out of your beep, but maybe not.
This sort of pattern recognition, if you do it with your eyes wide open and your heart wide open, can make your life on Earth practically boundless and empower you enormously. If your mind and your heart and your eyes are held tight with fear and defensively, you will see the world as though it is happening in front of you, as though it is real, but it will be an illusion, a complete illusion, and it can be completely disconnected, even from the opportunities of those things that you don't yet understand. Sometimes I think of it as like lawn darts. You know, you throw a dart across the field and then you walk over to pick it up. And as you're walking over to pick up your lawn dart, you notice, oh, look, there's a four-leaf clover in the grass. And oh, wow, I didn't notice there was these little mushrooms growing here. And hey, look, an abandoned tennis ball. And oh, here's my lawn dart. I wonder sometimes if we've thrown these things in advance of ourselves and then we're just arriving to pick them up, and that's when we finally acknowledge, oh wow, this thing just happened. Much like when you hear your own voice recorded and you're listening back to it and you say, gosh, that's what I sound like. Or even stranger, you'll hear something that you said or read a text or an email that you wrote years before and say, I don't remember ever writing that. I don't remember ever saying that. There's something about the echo of a thing. And I think sometimes these patterns that we experience, these strange coincidences and serendipities, are actually things that we created far in advance. But until we heard the echo by virtue of our own actions and our own progress through life, we never even realized that we did or prepared or set up that thing. And I guess in a way, this podcast is precisely that. It's a mirror for me to spit back out the things that I'm ingesting, that I expose myself to, and see what that means. And I'm putting it against you, and I'm seeing what it means when it comes back from you, and how, through the filter of your listening and your processing it, what it all actually means. So that's what this experiment is. And I'm glad to be back, and I hope that this actually goes up and iTunes picks it up and stops dropping episodes on me. And Amy, I hope you'll come back.
Of course, I'll always come back.
So you can visit the website karamcast.com. That's KeramCast.com to listen to past episodes. And sometimes we have articles up there that, of course, aren't in the actual audio podcast. And there will be links there to some of my blogs, theculturepin.com, musiczeitgeist.com, and tasteodyssey.com, where I cover a wide range of topics. Finally, I want to mention that if you're interested in actually being a contributor to any of my blogs, I'd love to hear from you. Just write to me at info@karamcast.com, and let's see if you can become a contributor to the blogs. We'd love to have you.
Do you ever sleep? Just question.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't sleep. I actually recorded 19 more podcasts, and they're just going to be sort of edited, and I'll put them up
tomorrow.
Yeah. I recorded this podcast last February.
Cool. Me too.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next time.
Peace.